Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen to the show on the radio dial 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial and you want to stay up to date with everything happening here at the station, we have multiple options for you to stream the show. We can, of course, you can always stream on the Odyssey app, free to download, free to listen. You can also now stream on the TuneIn Radio app as well as the iHeartRadio app. So just about every major place you can stream radio, you can hear us on 92.9 FM ESPN. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. Glad that he is with us. You can follow him on Twitter, on X, at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day, Jeffrey.
We welcome via the phone the man, the myth, the legend. He is Coach Norton Hurd, of course, team director, head coach of Team Thad of the Nike EYBL circuit. Follow him on all socials at DreamBigHurd. Hurd, good day, sir.
Great day. Great sports week. Yes, sir.
All right. So I want to start with a couple of topics I think that are near and dear to your heart. So we got Nike shoes, and I want to talk some Shador with you. All right. So it's Monday. It's Overreaction Monday. Chris Harrington made this point earlier this morning, and I think he's spot on, and I actually think it's probably my biggest overreaction. I think this tour that Ja's doing in China for Nike, I think that's the best thing that can happen to him in the offseason, because we all know Ja does thrive on a lot of praise and the good vibes. And you can tell, like, when he's going over there, it's just a love fest. Everybody's like, you know, it's nothing but positive vibes only. Also, a lot of the social media that I think that get him down, pretty sure it's banned over there. So overall, like, I think this is the best thing that can happen to Ja in the offseason.
Oh, I agree. I think, first of all, it's just wonderful. I don't know who all you follow, Jeffrey or the crowd follow, but I'm pretty cool with his Uncle Phil. So on, like, the IG story, I'm able to see some behind-the-scenes things they do outside of what they publicize, and I think it has just been awesome for him and his brand, and everything like that. So I think it has just been wonderful from that standpoint. So, like, you might be right, being in China. And outside of that, Jeffrey, have you saw the excitement of the shoe?
That's what I'm saying. Like, and on top of that, like, I also think it helps that I think after a little, you know, after a couple of the incidents, Nike was kind of little hesitant of like, okay, what should we do? Because didn't one of the incidents happen like, I think one of the incidents maybe happened like they were going to do like a big launch for him, and then like that got tampered down. It feels like the best part of right now is like Nike's all in. Ja loves that Nike's all in. Like, that, it's not like that relationship ever soured, but it feels like Ja's definitely feeling the love, if you will.
Yeah, because it feels like, you know, and I'm just saying from a feel standpoint, right? In the feel standpoint, usually, you know, in this world of today, perception actually meant a lot, that it meant more than it meant back in the day with, you know, the socials and everything, right? So it feels like right now he's like in a fresh place, a clean place, you know, no incident that I didn't heard of, and it kind of feel like just a fresh summer, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So with that, it's like Nike, to bring up one point, Jeffrey, Nike do a good job if you ever get down there at Peach Jam, right? And so what the officials at Nike realized, even the head people, they didn't know how big Peach Jam was. They're like, oh, this one of our little youth things we give money to. Now they bring out all the big execs now, and they realize, holy shoot, we sell out here. The line is around the corner. And they initiated the – did y'all see that online last week when we were at Peach Jam? You know, they did a job first look. You can buy it. And when I say line around the corner, Jeff, I'm talking about hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of – because, you know, they're not going to allow thousands or whatever. So it was hundreds and hundreds of people that came. And I just think from there, what they did there – so. It looked like they going everywhere. Did you say they went to Alaska first? Because, like I said,
they were going to go that way to get to China.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So China's that way.
Yeah. I think you can technically go it's not easy to get there either way, but I think most people choose to go west because you fly with the wind.
Got you. No, it's been awesome, too, and I'm glad it's refreshing for him. And, you know, even some of his other shoes, people was like, it looked like, you know, maybe a Kobe, maybe a Sabrina, maybe a Kyrie. Because, you know, these days, they done made so many shoes. A lot of shoes look similar. But these shoes got his own identity, I think, and it's something different.
Well, that was the other thing I was going to ask. Like, how at Peach Jam, since it's a Nike event, how many guys are wearing Jaws? And, like, even if it's a Nike event, can you wear Jordans? Like, can you do both?
Yes, you can. But the kids of this generation, you got to be a real cold, strong man. They don't wear Jordans in the game. Like, how Jordan wore 12, they wear that more with their regular clothes for fashion or to school. So in the real games, and kids these days, which they should, they don't wear a lot of high tops. So they kind of wear like the Kobe's, the Sabrina's, the G3's. And, you know, they made us an EYBL job. So every stop we went to this year, like we went to Phoenix, they made us a Devin Booker because we was in Phoenix, right?
Yeah.
And then Kevin Durant had this exclusive. When we came to Memphis, they gave all the 17's EYBL Ja Morant. So they do wear some Jaws or whatever because they actually gave us a song.
Like, what's the shoe that you see, like, most of the, like, it, when you're in a 17s tournament, like, what's the shoe you see the most?
The shoe that you would see the most that kids want, but they not as available, but they definitely want them Kobe's. But they're not. So you
are they still, like, updating the line?
So I was just going to say that the updated ones ain't too many people got. Then you got the super updated ones where only like a Tyron Stokes and a few of them weren't.
Yeah, know, only the guys that, like, yeah, the they're number one guys, yeah.
Yeah, so you got levels. Have you ever heard of GTs?
I don't think so.
GT3s or GT2. They're like a low-top cut shoe. I don't know if –
They're Nikes, obviously, right?
Yeah, they Nike GT cut through, and then so Nike make exclusive one of them. The kids like them. I'm missing on somebody.
Are those like when you and I were growing up? The Nike, those to me look like, remember the Nike team shoes? Like they you know, they came in like a bunch of different colorways, but like they had the team written in circle, like right at like the like where your toes were. These to me, like, that's what these look like. They're like, they're not someone's specific shoe. They look like the generic basketball shoe that everybody wears in all the different colors.
For sure. I agree with you, except the ones Nike give them, they added, like, more custom and stuff.
Yeah.
So they like them. At Peach Jam, they tried to force the age of Wilsons on us this year. They gave us some of them. The kids like the Devin Bookers, too, though. At first they didn't. They thought it was too much like an Air Force One. They kind of been messing with the Devin Booker line. You know, a shoe that they don't mess with much, I don't know why, But when they give us the Greek Freaks,
I was about to say, I went straight to the Nike basketball page. I was like, I don't feel like I see a lot of kids wearing the Giannis shoe.
And they try to force it on you, Jeffrey. Not force in a negative way, but they do. Like,
because
Because
they're not selling it?
I don't know if they say. I haven't looked it up. I'm sure to keep him around, he got to be doing something. It's like if you go to the Nike site like you just did, Greek Freak might be the first thing on there.
It's technically the second shoe on there. But it's on the front. It's on the top page, front and center.
Yeah, so it's, when they send us stuff over, it's always that the Sabrinas do well, too. See, kids are more on low tops and colorways, right? So they not like us back in the day, Jeffrey, where Wooddale wore the red shoe.
The white and blue, usually.
Mitchell, black and like, they don't care if they colors red. They want some with lime green, pink in it, a mixture of six loud colors. That's how they get down now. It ain't no what we call matching. This generation don't believe in, like, red and red and white and red actually matches, right? They have their own swag.
Are the Tatum shoes popular?
Yes and no. Let me tell you why, and that's a good question. You know when you brought up, can we wear Jordans earlier?
Yeah.
So Bradley Beal, Chris Paul team, Bradley Beal, and why not, they all have to wear Jordans. Outside, the rest of us can wear Nikes because they are Jordan brand teams because Chris Paul, Bradley Beal, and Russell Westbrook are Jordan, and Blake Griffin, they're Jordan brand people. The problem with Jordan, and it's been going on my whole life, and it's no disrespect. Jason Tatum, Zion Williams, Chris Paul. Team cannot make good shoes for their people like they did for Michael Jordan. So Jason Tatum's and to me, now this might just be my opinion, but I'm around the kids and Chris Paul and Zion. I mean, I don't think they're the coolest shoes. I think Jordan do his best, like when we was coming up, when he would give like Carmelo Anthony a PE shoe where like he'll make the 12s, our shoes already – that was that, make them baby blue. You remember when he was in Denver, he would come out with the baby blue 12s for Carmelo or the black and baby blue 8s. But just on the, I mean, y'all online, you and George can tell me what y'all think about Jason Tatum and Zion Williams and Chris Pauls. I mean, they're cool. And I think Nike might be behind this, too. I don't want to get in trouble. Although they mess with Jordan, Nike still, I think, likes to keep Nike on top, if that makes sense.
You want the swoosh. I was actually saying, you know what these Tatum shoes remind me of? Was it the Kobe's? Was it Kobe's really? Maybe last Adidas shoe? Remember, like, they looked like, honestly, like, they all came in gray, and so they looked like they were, like, cinder blocks. Do you remember that shoe?
I remember them. They came out after the crazy Ace, I believe.
Yeah. But that's before Kobe goes to Nike, right? I have that timeline right. I think.
Yeah, Kobe went to – he was with Adidas first, then he came with Nike.
Yeah, I want to say that's kind of what those remind me of. You got to talk to me about this one. The Nike Hyperpiece Hyper Boot. Y'all, this shoe literally looks like it's a walking boot.
So, I'm going to be real with you, Jeffrey. This is where I'm young.
This thing, they have it as bestseller.
So, I was just going to say that that's why I'm young and old at the same time. It's a lot of stuff I just ain't got the confidence to do.
Yeah, I could not pull this one off.
It pretty much is a boot. I'm looking at it because I saw that in passing because I'm looking at these two. It is an actual boot. It is like compression up the top. It is supposed to have like some sort of heating in it. That's why they are. How much are these?
$900. Okay.
Ooh.
That is an actual, like, warm-up / recovery boot. That's not...
Yeah, that might be for the pros. I like the Lee High School kids who got that type of funding. Me, personally, I don't know where y'all done got to in life at, Jeff, but unless my son or daughter is just a crazy app, I wouldn't really spend $900 for myself in those shoes.
I ask for shoes. Like, if I need new shoes, I'd wait for either Christmas or my birthday, and I ask for shoes for my... But, like, to your point, when I used to just go and buy stuff, this shows you how, like, square I am. I'd just go to the Nike factory, like, to the outlet, and, like, I'd buy the Nike stuff from there.
Which one? Elvis Presley?
Yeah, you know, sometimes the key is if you get the hookup to go to the actual, like,
The one in Fraser now.
Yeah, warehouse. If you ever got that, I mean, that was big living. But
yeah,
like,
that was, it was on Sierra Drive back then.
I think now, like the last time I went to like the Nike outlet in George's neck of the woods right there at 55 and Goodman Road, the outlets.
Oh, the Tanger Mall.
Yeah, because, I mean, forever I used to go to the outlets on Lakeland, but, like, you know, those haven't been open in God knows how long. But it's like, you know, we used to, there's a Nike outlet down at the beach. Like, that used to kind of be the routine of, like, all right, kind of before school gets back, you'd buy your shoes there. Like, you know what I mean?
No, for sure. Yeah, Jeff, I'm with you. I guess my point is,
I don't care if my shoes are last year's model. I've never cared.
No, I'm with you on that, and because we're not. Now, when I was in high school, we didn't have a lot at Mitchell, so our thing would be George and Jeff and the listeners. If you could get them Jordans on that Saturday and wear them on Monday, you actually like, ooh, you know, it was like you was one of the cool kids and stuff. But since I've been grown, I just don't see how people wait in line or – I see this one thing you have to win. Like, hold on, I got to win something.
Yeah, when you bring a lottery into play, I'm good.
yeah, I got to win something. To, it almost reminds me, Jeffrey, you know the dating sites they have online?
Yeah.
There's a couple of people I know. When they start telling me, yeah, I look at them, but when they start asking me for my email and too much personal, I say, oh, I'm out of this. And we just can't get on there.
Yeah, when they start like, let's see, we need to confirm your ID. I'm like, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, I heard one.
It's like I understand why they're doing it. Like they're worried about identity theft and whatnot. It's like I get why they're doing it. I'm not saying what they're doing is wrong. I'm just saying no, thank you.
It's too much at that point, right? Yeah, for sure. But no, them shoes, Jeff, them $900 ones. That's probably why I hadn't seen those much. But Nike, like you said, they're being Nike and they're constantly and you know, I really can't speak on other brands that much, but shoes and technology, and I feel sorry for me and you, Jeff. I don't know what if George got kids, but I can just imagine the stuff they're going to make, the cons that pique their interest and the stuff they're going to be asking us for and the prices. I mean, I'm not ready for it at all.
No, I'm just rooting for, I want her to go to a school where everyone just has to wear a uniform so that way you only have to buy like one pair of outrageous things.
Sounds good.
You see what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, I just want everything to be like, yes, because I am very, very, very hesitant on that. All right, so the other thing I was thinking about is, so Shador kind of got ripped by his GM for the high-speed driving. All right, fair enough. One of my good friends from college, he was driving through on Friday night, and his dad's from Cleveland, so he's a Browns fan, and he's with me entirely. If I'm a Browns fan, isn't this like the perfect time? Don't you just want them to start Shador? Because one of two things is going to happen. You're not going to compete for the division anyway. Either Shador's good enough or he's not. You find out very quickly whether or not he is, and then that way, if he's not good enough, okay, well, we know we need a quarterback next year, but like, listen, I'm not saying I'm trying to take a job away from Joe Flacco, but I'm just sitting there thinking, like, if I'm a fan, why do I need to watch this again? Like, I know how it goes. Like, it's fine. Like, we're not going anywhere. Why not at least play the young guy and see if there's anything there?
I'm with you, Jeffrey. You know, I'm one of the few people, I don't know your thoughts. I like Shador, right? And I actually think that,
I like Shador. My question on Shador, and this is why I would say go ahead and play him, I don't know if Shador has the pure arm strength to be like top 10 quarterback. But I'd like to find out. Maybe he does. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I'm with you. So when you say strength, I can agree with that. It was games. I'm going to be real, because at first he was at Jackson State, and, you know, I'm listening to people. I saw some Jackson State games, but I didn't get the date to me. They did get him a lot of hype, but I felt like when he was at Colorado, I could literally see every game I wanted to.
No, with Jackson State, like, they were just so much more talented than the rest of their league. Like, it was just chunking it up to Travis. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he put up good numbers, and I'm not saying they're worthless numbers, but I learned way more about him at Colorado than I did at Jackson State.
Yeah, and you know what's funny? I don't never think he was in a balanced system, meaning at Jackson State, they was always better than everybody. I feel like at Colorado, then they were starting at the bottom of the pack. You feel what I'm saying? And the teams were better than them starting off. And I don't know, Jeffrey, I know you got a lot of channels. I didn't really get to see Jackson State even play a lot outside if they was just covering Dion. I couldn't find those games on TV as much.
They put some on, like, ESPNU, but usually you'd have to go to, like, Plus, or then they'd put the highlights out afterwards. And, you know, when you're watching a highlight tape, you're not seeing a ton. It was much easier to watch him at Colorado because basically every game was on TV. And you also knew, to your point, okay, year one, he's not playing with the best team. And that's like when I started, I never understood those that, like, I always felt like Shiloh got a lot of the heat. And now Shador's done some stuff the last couple of years that, like, I don't love in terms of leadership. But at the same time, I think he's kind of been humbled and he's handling it the right way. And also, like, I cannot relate to being as famous as Shador Sanders is. Like, I will never be able to relate to that. So, like, I acknowledge that a young man going through that might be trying to process it in real time, and he might not bat 1,000. But in terms of him playing quarterback, I've always liked him playing quarterback. I remember, what was Deion's high school team? Was it, like, Trinity Christian out of Texas?
Something like that in Dallas.
Yeah, they played one of those early season games, like, against Hoover or someone like that. And this is when he's committed to FAU. And I remember watching, I was like, man, I really like him. Like, he has a really good feel for the position. I still have the same thing. It's like, I don't know how, like, elite his arm is, but, like, I liked how he played the position. I feel the same way. I'm just sitting there thinking, like, if I'm a Browns fan, what do I really need to see Joe Flacco go 6-11? Like, I don't know. Like, I'd rather play the young guy and at least be like, okay, did we find something? And if not, okay, so be it. We know we got to go get a quarterback next year in the draft.
Yeah, because it ain't like y'all put a lot into him or took him first round.
Right.
One thing I'm going to say, I know his question is about his arm power. Now, I might be wrong, but what I saw last year when I watched games that impressed me, because I was like, okay, is he really, like you said, Jack State, is it what he better than them? Is it just his dad is the reason he's out there and getting these thoughts? But when he was at Colorado, especially that second year when the line was better than he even looked, I saw a lot of accuracy that I didn't.
I've always liked his. That was one of the things, because I love quarterbacks with accuracy. Like, I highlight that a lot. And he was always very. That was what I loved about him. It's like quick game when he has to get it out of his hand. He always threw a catchable ball. It's always leading the receiver. He always threw the ball where it was supposed to go, and for the most part, it was on time. Then when he got to Colorado, the line, to your point, wasn't as good, so he's having to do more freelancing, whatnot, but I've always thought he delivers a pretty accurate ball.
Yeah, and so with that, I don't know. Would you rather your quarterback being accurate or powerful, right? Me personally, if you got a good defense and stuff, I probably want an accurate quarterback because we have seen, I feel like that's a little harder to teach because we have seen a lot of powerful quarterbacks over the years, big arm strength, but.
Well, like at the highest level, done. I think this is the question. Would you rather have Burrow or Josh Allen? Because to me, like, that's the thing. Burrow's got a good enough arm. Like, that's the question. Like, I always think the guys that have, like, the Stafford arms or the unbelievable arms, like, okay, I don't know how much that matters, but you do have to have a baseline. It's like having a pitcher that he needs to at least be able to throw 90. And if he can't throw 90, then you really start to get into, like, things. So with Shador, it's like, can he throw 90? Because if you can, like, Joe Burrow proves you don't have to have the world's best arm, but he is, like, lethally accurate.
Exactly. And see, now, man, you're saying some good stuff today, too, Jeffrey.
Thank you.
You're on one to start the week off. So, for me, this is where, and some of my coaches, they might say, Coach, this kid reminds me of Jason Tatum. I say, listen, don't come to me with that, right? Let's just watch the kid. So, for me, it just took me out the mind because the two guys you named, I don't know. Power, actually, they both got enough of both of them. You know what I mean? So it's like, I can't even compare people to Josh Allen and Joe Burrow because that's like the cream of the cream, right?
Right.
It's only Pat and Lamar you can put in that circle. Now, can he be top 10? I think the Browns got a pretty good defense from what I've heard. I know they re-signed.
They re-signed Miles. Their problem is going to be, and this would be what I'd also argue, like, this could be good for Shador. Their offensive line has been gutted. They've probably got 4 or 5 guys they trust up front. But, like, throwing him into the fire and seeing how he reacts, like, if he reacts a certain way, like, maybe you find something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Now, one thing I don't want to, though, is if you put him in there too long, because I think he could be a serviceable quarterback. If you put him in there too quick, I feel like you said when you put guys in there too quick and they're not a first rounder, they also move off of him too quick.
Yeah, I
so
think
I do want him to get a first, you know, shot.
I do think people are moving on. The one thing that I'm hopeful is going to help young quarterbacks now. I think when people saw the Panthers bench Bryce Young, because Bryce looked so lost for so long, when they saw him bench him, and then he kind of sat on the side for a couple of weeks, and then he came back and he played really good football down the stretch, I am hopeful that people will start to realize, like, hey, this idea if you bench a young quarterback, his career's over. It's like, no, man, like, it's a young quarterback. It's development. They're not always going to play at the top of the level. Like, you can treat a guy like, hey, man, just come sit over here on the side with me for a little bit. See what you see from this side and see if that works. Like, I'm hopeful that the way that it was, and that's why I really want Bryce to have another good year, because I think that's better for all quarterbacks if we can start to maybe think a little more outside the box of it has to be this certain way, because I'm definitely with you. It's like, if a guy doesn't show up in the first, you know, 18 games he has, it feels like we've just been moving on.
No, you're right. I think the only problem is what me and you discuss every week on here, and I discuss with Jason and John, I guess all us old-timers discuss. I think the only thing that hurts it a little bit is that internet. I think back in the day, somebody would just vote it in the paper, and you get to feel it for a day. But when they I follow a lot of sports sites. So as soon as they bench them, I mean, my news feed 20 straight, you know, things, and with thousands and millions of views, and so on. So let's be real, too. Let me also say this to you, Jeffrey. Unless it's a Pat Mahomes and stuff, let's be real. We know that kid didn't look that good, but you're telling me that we put that kid with the Chiefs or the Ravens or Packers. A lot of times I'm not dissing those guys because they're not Pat Mahomes and Joe Burrow and Lamar and Josh. All the other quarterbacks are pretty much showed they need help. So a lot of quarterbacks who we think great right now, I don't know if they'd do too good going to the Panthers. You feel what I'm saying?
Oh, I think that was always my whole deal when everyone tried to do the whole Bryce versus CJ and CJ's better. It's like, well, CJ went to a much better situation. Can we also acknowledge that? Like, CJ had much more playmakers. He had a better offensive line. He actually had playmakers. I think you'd say that. And then last year, CJ's offensive line got really old really fast, and they were bad. And he had a year where he just didn't look quite the same. But then we got playoff time, and he still looked like, okay, there's no reason to give up on him. But I think you're right. The other thing that I find interesting about it is you would think with Mahomes being kind of the standard, everyone's looking for their Mahomes, they sat him for the first year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the only game – now, granted, they had Alex Smith, so, like, you have the ultimate bus driver, and, like, I get it. But I do think, to your larger point, I think what happens a lot of times is you've got these bad franchises, and then they've got these owners that – have a history of being bad owners, and it's like, well, we just got to put the kid out there, and then, like you said, whether or not he's ready or not, it's like, okay, like, let's just roll with it, because we got to sell tickets, we got to sell hope. And, like, I do understand, like, you can say, okay, well, I'm contradicting myself, but my thing is, if I'm a Browns fan, I just don't know what good it is to, like, why do I need to see Joe Flacco again? Like, I would much rather find out if we found a guy, even if it's, okay, say you want to watch Gabriel. Okay, fine. If you want to play Gabriel, that's fine. Like, but I would much rather see them play one of the young guys and see if they've got it. Like, it's the same problem I have with the Giants. I'm going to have to sit through probably 8 to 10 weeks of Russell Wilson before they turn to Jackson. And so it's like, well, what do I need to – I know what Russell Wilson is. Like, but I don't know. Yeah. Like, that's just kind of how I'm at a certain point, it's like, don't – shouldn't you just, rather than roll the guy out there that he's going to be like a steady six, shouldn't you put the young guy out there and just see what we've got?
Yeah, now Russell Wilson, I know you hate to hear this, he kind of deserved the first 8 to 10 weeks, though.
The only reason I've talked myself into it and being fine with it, if you put Jackson out there against our schedule the first 8 to 10 weeks, he might get broken.
For sure, for sure. And Russell Wilson, like I say, he is a Super Bowl champ.
I don't care. And I really, what it boils down to is I don't care if he gets broken. He's got a lot of money. He'll be fine.
He, He's a Super Bowl. I might be wrong. Did Flacco win one too?
Flacco won in 2012.
So he did, but for some reason, Russell Wilson more feel like a bigger reason why he won it. Like he was part, you know, of it, and would have too, right? If it went for the run. Now, Pat Mahomes, because I'm hearing you say that, he wasn't the first rounder though, right away.
Yeah, well, he wasn't the first taken. Trubisky went ahead of him. I think he went pick 10, or maybe it was pick 12. Either went 10 or 12.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, that's where. But either way, to answer your main question, if Shador could get in there and they give him a year or two, I don't think it, and this might sound like a bad take, but people who know sports know where I'm going. I don't think it's hard for him to get into that 10 Ram. I think out the four, you got a couple other guys, that's for sure. But me and you have done this, and I didn't hear sports radio shows across the country, world, ESPN. Everybody's stuff is different from 6 to 14.
Yeah, no, it's like, you know what I'm saying? Well, honestly, I'd even say, like, I'm comfortable saying who the four best quarterbacks are in the league. After that, I think it's kind of like beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah, year to year.
Like, if you want to say Jalen Hurts is the fifth best quarterback in the league, there's a case to be made. Is he my flavor? No. Do I also acknowledge that, man, that guy knows, like, he has all the qualities that the Eagles need to win, and if that's the whole enterprise is winning, I can acknowledge he has all that.
He's the biggest comp. I'm going to tell you why. Although I do think Jalen Hurts is better than what people give him credit for, because I didn't see him go out and do great things in college and stuff like that, I do think it's almost to his defense. I can see them winning 2-3 Super Bowls at some point, but because the team is so good, he might not fully never get his respect. And it ain't because whether he's good enough or not. We just never know, right, as long as the team's stacked. And it's been a big debate. I know, have y'all been seeing it on social media about him and Cam Newton? And his
yeah,
wife?
So that was – I struggled with that because it's almost like peak Cam, I think, is one of the most special players I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if it's to win one game, it's like, okay, give me Cam. But, like, I've started talking myself into, like, if it's, like, for one season with a ready-made team, like, I do think that's when Hurts' qualities start to come into play. I think the thing that hurts, no pun intended, when it's at its best, it's not pretty. You know what I mean? It's a lot of moving the chains. It's a lot of using his legs, controlling the ball, suffocating you, and then making the plays that are there. But there's nothing that's really special when you watch it. Whereas, like, with Cam, there were plays where you're like, oh, my God.
For sure. I love Jalen Hurts, and I do think he's special. But with that being said, and I know the internet is a what have you done for me lately, because Hurts have Super Bowls. They're people saying he's better than him. Love Jalen Hurts, and I'm one of the few to think he's special. If Cam Newton had that Eagles team, I would say three-peat, and people can get
that
mad.
You actually had the same thing that caused me the concern, is because I was like, well, this would be the ultimate test case. If I had the Eagles roster, would I put Cam, like, would I put 28-year-old Cam or 28-year-old Hurts? I think I'd put 28-year-old Cam.
Cam is way, and then it's going to sound crazy saying way, Cam might be way better. There's no not. Cam is a pretty special guy. Now, if you're talking about locker room and leadership,
that's where I think it becomes an issue. It's like, was Cam the world's greatest leader? Probably not.
And Hurts is, to me,
yes,
one of
totally.
The more ultimate men. The way he carry himself, I feel like he's like super professional, super classy, super integrity. And I don't think Cam's a bad guy outside of college. I just think he like. Got on some people's nerves, because it ain't like he got into legal trouble before or anything. Outside of Florida, it was more immaturity, or just he was the type of star that I feel like just got on people's nerves, and you know, he wanted to be out. You know what I mean?
No, I think this is how I would describe it, and I know he got asked this, and it's an unfair question because he has one and doesn't have the other, but it's like, I think the simplest way I would describe it is, if you could ask Jalen Hurts, would he rather have an MVP or a Super Bowl? He's going to say, I'd rather have a Super Bowl without hesitation, and I believe him. Cam says, I'd rather have an MVP without hesitation, and also I believe him. You know what I mean? I think it's like, I think the individual accolades, now those can also lead to team success. I think that's what drove Cam more than, like, I do think Hurts is more about winning, but I also think Cam could play winning football, but I think in the end he was worried about Cam.
No, you're correct. I just don't want us to get off his talent because
He was an infinitely better passer than Jalen Hurts. Like, I think that's the other thing that's this misnomer about Cam. I don't think people realize, like, he was a phenomenal thrower of the ball until he hurt his shoulder.
Yeah, with the same running speed, bigger, and I don't know too many people, including Jalen Hurts, that I think could have took that Panther team to the Super Bowl.
No, I'm with you. All right, my man, you're good to join us. I know you've had a busy day, so thanks for hopping on.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, George. Thank you, Jeffrey. Have a great one.
That is Coach Norton Hurd. When we come back, let's talk some Tigers. Jason Munns joins us next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Only at True North Stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jason Munns is the Tiger basketball beat writer for The Commercial Appeal. You can follow him on Twitter on X at Munsley. Joins us each and every Monday on the program. Munns, what are we listening to?
I don't know how it sounds to you guys, but it sounds a little weird on my end. But that was, if it sounds weird to you guys, then that was supposed to be NIB by Black Sabbath. But if it sounds normal.
There we go. Is that what you're looking for, that rip?
That's it. Yes. NIB by Black Sabbath.
All right, so George has a hot take, and I didn't feel as qualified to answer one way or the other, but I'm going to let him run by his Black Sabbath hot take on you because I feel like you're more qualified to answer this.
All right.
My hot take is, while yes, Ozzy is the icon, is Black Sabbath. He was the second best lead singer for Sabbath.
Okay, that's a strong take. I mean, listen. I'm not gonna push back because everybody can feel how they want to feel. But would you, I mean, like, you would at least agree that without Ozzy?
Oh, without Ozzy, there is no Sabbath.
See, I kind of equated it when he dropped it on me. I kind of equated it, and I think you would agree with me. I think if you're talking songwriting, sound of the voice, I think Sammy Hagar is clearly the better lead singer, musician, frontman for Van Halen. But at the same time, David Lee Roth is like that. He is a better actual frontman. Maybe not songwriter, maybe not voice, whatnot. It's like, I kind of viewed it the same way. It's like David Lee Roth is like, when you close your eyes, you think of Van Halen, like David Lee Roth's doing the air splits with singing Jump.
That's a valid argument. I think it's just a matter of taste. Like, do you like Natural Light, or do you like I don't know, pick something, like something fancy. I mean, you know, like
the studio lighting.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't, I'm just saying, like, my only thing is, like, the biggest Black Sabbath stuff has that voice and that, you know, that presence, that mind behind it. But that doesn't mean that Ozzy was the best frontman. That's not necessarily what it means. So
To your point about taste, though, I've always kind of viewed it as this. I don't think a lead singer and the frontman are the same thing.
That's fair.
I think a frontman's job, for better or worse, and some do it better than, and some do it my speed and not my speed, but like my idea of a frontman is who draws in the attention.
Yeah. That's actually a really good debate. Like who's the best lead singer of all time and who's the best frontman of all time? They're not necessarily the same. They can be the same. Like Steven Tyler is the lead singer of Aerosmith, but he's also the frontman. But is he a better lead singer or is he a better frontman?
That's a great question. Ooh. Because there's also, I feel like there's also that wades into the territory of young Steven Tyler was probably a better lead singer.
But the famous
Steven Tyler is probably the worst singer, but he's the better frontman.
Yeah, it's like the voice is so iconic. It's like hard to. That's a tough one. We'll revisit this.
Yeah, we can revisit this. All right. So one thing I wanted to revisit is last week when you and I first came on the air, we're sorting through the pieces of Memphis's attempt to get into the Big 12. Now with a gift of a week talking to other people, do you have a sense of like what the timeline was and how this all went down?
Yes. A better sense, I would say. Probably not the fullest.
Certainly better than we did on Monday when we're just reading through the story like, okay, we think this happened.
Right. Yes. I feel a lot better today about talking about it than I did a week ago at this time. But this is something that has been in the works for a long time. The conversations, the ball started rolling, I would even venture to say, based on people that I've talked to who are very well acquainted with the intimate inner workings of this process, the ball started rolling like pre-Ed Scott. Now, Ed Scott, the Memphis athletic director, like certainly picked that ball up and ran with it. But this honestly, and like I said, this is coming from people that I've had discussions with who are very familiar with this topic. This honestly kind of got started back when Bill Hargrave was hired. So this goes back a little ways. Like this goes back to, you know, those, like when the commercial appeal reported back in 2023, we got our hands on some emails that Bill Hargrave had sent to Big 12 Commissioner Brett Yormark during that whole that round of conference realignment that wound up getting Colorado and the other three schools.
The corner schools, Arizona,
Colorado,
Utah, Arizona State.
Yes. We broke the news, broke that information where Bill Hargrave was like actively reaching out to Brett Yormark. And, you know, this was around the time where the stuff was swirling about Yormark taking a site visit and all this other stuff. So like this stretches back to there and possibly even before then. So, yes, this did not come out of the blue. This was not something that was just like any sort of Hail Mary. This is one of those things that has been in the works for a while. Ed Scott came on board last July. Actually, his 1-year anniversary is tomorrow. So of actually being
right
on the ground in Memphis. It was not a Hail Mary by any stretch of the imagination. This has been being worked on by a lot of people for a long time. Not a lot of people, but more people obviously than just those who work for the university. And it depends, in having these conversations, where things sort of broke down. You know, I mean, like when Memphis got passed on back in 2023, what we were talking about a minute ago, they were given some feedback, you know, reasons why they did not, why they were not picked to be in that round of realignment. And they went to work pretty much immediately addressing those things that kept them from being picked. And based on what I know, they spent the last 2 years addressing those things and were somewhat, you know, under the impression that they had addressed them. And because they had addressed them, like, they thought that this was going to work. I'll just say that. Now, I don't know that they thought that once they formally submitted the proposal that it would be accepted in any span of time. Like, I'm not saying that they expected to get an approval that day or, you know, within that week or whatever, but like they thought that Memphis thought was under the impression that this was going to be met with approval. And so that did not happen. And I think that took some people off guard, but you know, as far as like what that means for the future, for what Memphis is going to do, I mean, honestly, we really don't know at this point, but I would bet you, I believe strongly that this is, while discouraging, it will not deter Memphis from continuing to push to get to a place it thinks it deserves to be in.
So there's a couple of things here. I know Chris Vanini had, in his story over at The Athletic, he said that Memphis first approached presidents rather than going through the Big 12 office.
Mm-hmm.
I took that to mean exactly what you did, because I believe if memory serves, the first emails that y'all got a hold of at the commercial appeal, I believe Bill Hargrave has a relationship with the president of Baylor, and there was some correspondence there and whatnot. I was under, and I'm somewhat speculating, but my working theory was, I'm not saying that we know that those things happened, but I was kind of under the working theory that Brett Yormark was aware of what Memphis was putting together, and I think Brett Yormark thought what Memphis put together was a really enticing offer. Now, however, Paul Feinbaum came on Jason and John last week, and he believes that Brett Yormark killed the deal. I understand there can also be some parsing of words, but I'm of the impression Brett Yormark kind of co-signed this offer. Do you think I'm off base?
I'm honestly not sure, but I will say this. Like, I mean, I don't, maybe the Big 12 does it differently, but it's been my understanding for a long time that conference realignment moves are approved or denied by university presidents, not by the conference commissioner. Like, that's been, if an invitation comes, it's because it's coming from the university presidents. Now, is that where the difference is in all of this? Like, because there was not an invitation extended, that because it was basically a proposal from the school trying to join, that gave Brett Yormark the authority to just unilaterally, sack this thing. I don't know. But so, yeah, so like, I'm not totally sure. I have not gotten that information from anyone that I've spoken to, like where the breakdown,
right,
where the deal stopped.
Okay. And then the other thing is, I understand that it was a statement written by the university, and, you know, what are you going to say when disappointing news happens? But I do feel like because of the headline, you know, $200 million offer rejected, Memphis denied, I really feel like we didn't appreciate the fact that they were able to put together that competitive an offer. Like, that actually, that to me showed a different level of seriousness. And again, mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm sure a lot of those offers were contingent on this is getting into the Big 12. It's a different level of eyeballs. It's a different level of corporate sponsorship. But the fact that they were able to actually do that, to me, like, I made this point to Kevin Cerrito last week. I don't even know if the Grizzlies could put together that kind of marketing package. Like, I do think that was something to be acknowledged and applauded, but the fact because the end result is what it was, like, it just kind of falls on deaf ears.
Yeah, and it shouldn't, because that, or if it does, that's a shame, because you're right. Like, to me, the Memphis's both its ability and its ability to do that, and the fact that Memphis did it, like, that speaks very, very loudly, in my opinion. Now, you know, this was not the $200 million. Like, first of all, I think that number is possibly a little speculative. I'm not, it's a little bit fluid. I don't think it was exactly $200 million.
I'm sure, like most marketing deals, it was dependent on this happening, that, like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I would think, like a lot of corporate deals, there were a lot of triggers or whatnot. Like, I think it's fair to say that the offer you put on paper may not have been like whatever the actual dollar exchange was. Like, I don't get as hung up on whatever that number was, but I do think where I tip my cat is, I think that was a legitimately serious offer with clean money. And I think that got glossed over. You were getting money from FedEx, AutoZone, and Lowe's. Do you realize in this market, if you're not the SEC and the Big Ten, how hard it is to get that type of offer from companies that you're not having to sit there and go, do we really want to be in business with them?
Agreed. And that is an important distinction to note in all of this, that it was not like a suitcase full of
They are not running around. That's what I pointed out last week. It's like, guys, they don't have a Brinks truck now full of $200 million, and they just get to go around saying, okay, who wants some of this? Like, it was contingent on the Big 12, the impressions. Like, it was a marketing deal. But at the same time, even though it was a marketing deal for one specific league, the fact that they were able to put that together, like, I tip my hat to them, because, like, I was like, that is a really difficult thing to do.
Well, and there's also some subplots that deserve to be pointed out. Like, even though it was not going to be a suitcase full of $200 million that Memphis was just going to deliver to the Big 12 offices, the implication, if you are going to the Big 12 with a proposal like that, is that you are prepared to leave the American. And if you're prepared to leave the American, then you are prepared to pay the exit fee that would probably be somewhere in the neighborhood of $20 to $25 million, because it was going to be a short turnaround. They were not going to give the AAC two or three years notice. It was going to be for next year. And so you would think, you know, based on kind of what we know,
they would pay the steep number. I'm with you.
Yes. And that would have to be paid like in cash. Like,
correct.
So that tells you right then and there that they had something somewhere that was going to, you know, like they were going to have the money. Like, if they were pushing their chips in, they clearly were ready to pay the exit fee. And I think that is important to note. And then not only that, there was the reporting from Ross Dellinger and others that Memphis was also telling the Big 12 that starting next year, they were going to fully fund rev share, which is, as we know, $20.5 million. But as of right now, Ed Scott is not saying exactly how much money the exact amount of revenue sharing that Memphis is going to be able to do this year, although he did say at various points he has alluded to some dollar figures that would lead one to assume it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $10 to $12 million. So that's another big thing.
You're going to fund it without the television deal.
Exactly. Like, these are things that, like, are very you kind of have to read between the lines just a little bit, but once you do, you see that not only was Memphis able to go to the Big 12 with this $200 million from somebody somewhere.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.